This past week, I received a love letter from an anonymous source. My special letter was unsigned, but the gist of this letter was pretty clear. Someone saw an article about modesty that I had posted on the internet and then sent me a little note which said the following. If a woman wants to wear immodest clothes, that is her business, not yours. What right do you have telling people what they can and cannot wear? Get a life. Before my special note arrived, I intended to use today's time to talk about how our world has become indifferent to things like right and wrong, morality and immorality, light and darkness. The sender of my anonymous note, I think, offers a good illustration of what I wanted to cover this morning. For the most part, we live in a time where a lot of people shun judgments about right and wrong. People in our day and time may say, well, that's contrary to my beliefs, or that is contrary to company policy. We don't want to support that kind of thing. But when we start talking about universal ethics, right, wrong, moral, immoral, light, darkness, that's where a lot of people draw the line and say, we're just not really comfortable with that. Well, this morning we're going to approach things a little differently as far as what we normally do. I want to use 1 John as our sole text. This morning it is my plan to go through this book, the 5 chapters that we have, and look for some specific information. We want to look 4 times in this book because John especially pays great attention to this subject. We want to look for the times when he speaks about things like right and wrong, truth and error, light and darkness. Several have found the first chapter, so let's look at 1 John 1, verse 5. John said, and this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In this 5th verse, John affirms several points. First of all, John said that God exists. And not only does John claim that God exists, John claimed that God is a God of light. The word light, of course, here has the sense of upright or moral. It has the connotation of pure, holy, completely righteous. God is so upright that John said there is zero darkness, not the slightest element of darkness in him. Early in the book of John, we find a statement that says that good and evil do exist, and a statement that says God is the source, God is the standard for that goodness. I am amazed, and this happens probably a lot more than I see it, but I am amazed that our world will often turn to elite people, whether that's a politician, whether that is a celebrity or someone else, and ask that individual who is perceived to be someone who is elite or intelligent in our world, do you believe that evil exists? I hear people ask that question from time to time. Do you believe that there is right and wrong in the world? Folks, that question was settled a long time ago. We should not have to ask that question in our day and time. Evil does exist. There are going to be some things in life that are always wrong, and some things that in life have always been wrong. As we think about evil, we find that it is not based on personal opinion. It's not based on a company's values or even majority rule. Evil is evil no matter what we, others, or even in the entire world thinks. Now that may sound like a senseless point, but it becomes a practical point when we look at our society. Our world used to look at things like homosexuality in a very negative way. It used to say, hey, that activity is wrong. But now our society looks at this way of life and some other things in a way that's favorable. They actually go beyond condoning it and say, well, hey, that can be a good thing. Fornication was looked down on in the past. But now we live in a time where that's often elevated and celebrated. Our world has gotten very good at glorifying sin, at taking what's wrong and making it look right, and honoring wickedness. But no matter what the world does, they can never make wrong right. Evil will always be evil, no matter what mankind thinks or says. The darkness and light described in 1 John 1:5 are actually presented by John as life choices. And we see this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the next 2 verses. John said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. John knew that each person has one of 2 paths to choose from, and we will choose, we will select one of those paths. We can walk in the darkness, we can choose the evil, or we can walk according to the truth, that is the light. Our world, as we look at society, says, well, we believe there is a third category. And this third option the world perceives to exist is the one that many want. Americans are quite fond of what we might refer to as the twilight life. They, for the most part, I think, do not want the real seedy or the real unseemly part of life. They say, oh, no, we don't want to go into that activity and that way of life. but at the same time, trying to walk in the light. People say, well, we're not really comfortable with that way of life. That's going to require too much. So let's go ahead and avoid this and avoid this, and we'll come out, we'll split the difference. And we'll come out and we'll just kind of have this middle of the road walk, and we'll have the best of both worlds. There may be no better example of this than what the world calls random acts of kindness. Now, you've probably heard about that, and maybe you've been encouraged to do that, and maybe you've done that. But a random act of kindness is doing something good from time to time, and or receiving something good from time to time, and then if we're the recipient, we pass that along to another individual. One of the best examples, I think, in modern times has been on the interstate. People will be headed down the interstate, and they'll pay the toll for somebody behind them, or they may pay the toll for the next six vehicles. And we are encouraged in our society to engage in random acts of kindness. People sometimes do that, and after that random act of kindness, they feel pretty good about themselves. The thinking seems to be that if we have some good works, if we've involved ourselves in some random acts of kindness, and we are not overly wicked, then we're probably okay. Random acts of kindness are not wrong, but may I respectfully suggest that random acts of kindness are not walking in the light. God says there are only two choices. Number one, we walk. Think about that word. We walk in the light. That means that we seek to live in this way day after day, time after time, week after week, month after month, and month after, or year after year. We seek to continuously live in that realm and pursue righteousness. If we pick this path, we are not interested in random acts of kindness. If we're walking in the light, we want regular acts of kindness, and we'll have regular acts of kindness in our life. The other option, choice two, is walking or living in the darkness. That category involves random acts of kindness and maybe no acts of kindness at all. John said we don't need much darkness, we don't need much sin to sever our relationship with God. Verses 8 and 10, chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then the final verse in the chapter, if we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In 1 John chapter 2, this apostle continues to talk about the fact that right and wrong, truth and error, morality and immorality exist. In 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, we find a reference to sin. This, of course, is another reference to the darkness. This described in 1 John 1. John said that man's alternative to sin is keeping God's commandments, 1 John 2, verse 3. When we look at our world, we find that it suggests in one way or another that God has few, if any, commandments that we need to observe as we go through life. The philosophy in America seems to be, as long as we are not involved in any kind of major transgression, we're not breaking any major laws, heaven is going to be our home. And we can sort of glide through this life, enjoying everything that life has to offer, not really care about where we are spiritually, and then we'll pass into heaven or a good state after death. The commandments, the laws that should concern us, are not so much the state laws and the federal laws. The laws that matter most in our lives are the laws from God. God's laws about light and darkness. And then John, after he gets through this, says this in 1 John 2, verse 4. He says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. God says truth exists. God also says this truth is available, and it's something that we need to follow, embrace, and pursue. The word truth also reminds us that right and wrong, good and evil, do exist. It even implies that if truth is something we can know, then error must also exist, and it's also something that we can know. Those who live in the darkness, whether that's a little darkness in their mind or a lot, usually want to believe in some falsehood. Some accept the falsehood that they're okay because they are a quote-unquote good person. Others have the idea that God is so gracious, kind, and loving that he's just somehow going to overlook their quote-unquote small sins. But verse 4 says, if we do not do God's commandments, if we're not involved with what God has said, we do not have the truth. We can say that we know God. We may believe that we know God. We may think that we serve God. But if we've not chosen the path of truth and righteousness, God says he is not our spiritual master. The right way to live is found in 1 John 2, verse 5. John speaks about keeping the word of God. And in 1 John 2, 6, he changes the thought to develop the point a little more fully. And here's how he expresses it there. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now remember from the first chapter, we pointed out from 1 John 1, 5 that there is no darkness in God. Zero darkness, no darkness whatsoever. All right, if we want to abide in God, 1 John 2, 6, We must then reject the darkness. We've got to come out of that realm of error and exchange that error and falsehood for truth. We must, as John says in 1 John 2:10, abide in the light. Now let's go back for just a moment to the love letter that I talked about. Think about what this person wrote. Someone asked this question, who are you to tell women what they should wear? Well, I want to answer that question. I am not the one who sets or tries to establish what people should and should not wear. It's not up to me to make standards for right and wrong. It's not up to me to decide what is modest and immodest, or even whether modesty is an issue. It was not Brad Price that decided that Adam and Eve needed suitable clothing. It was not me who said or decided that it is necessary for a child of God, if someone wants to go to heaven. I didn't come up with the idea that people must live differently from the world. God is the one who has said we need to turn from the ways of the world and live according to his will. That includes dress if we want to please him, if we want heaven as our home. As John continues to talk about this theme, we turn to 1 John 2, verse 13. Here John says there is an evil one. And not only is there an evil one, John says this evil one is in our world and it needs to be overcome. Our society says, well, that information about the devil, people believe that in the past, but you know that devil, that's not a real thing or a mythical creature. We don't need to be worried about him and his ways. God says the world is 100% wrong. There is evil, the devil exists in the world, and God says part of our task, if we want to be in the light, if we want to please and serve him, we must overcome the devil. This same verse also talks about those who know the Father. Now that's interesting. The world says we really don't know about God. Or if we ask what the world knows about God, they said, well, we really don't have that much information about him in the scriptures, and we don't need to because he's so kind. The Bible says we need to know God. We need to be in the light. By the time John comes to 1 John 2, verse 15, if his readers haven't gotten it up to this point, John lays down the point in a way where they could not have missed it. John simply comes right out and says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is it possible to love the world? Yes. Not like the world, not appreciate the world, but love the world. If people make this choice, that's loving the darkness, what's going to be the result? Well, John says the love of the world is contrary to the Father. That world is full of darkness. So anyone who is in love with the world, the love of the Father can't be in him. It's not uncommon for people to desire the world, as we've mentioned, and then thank God is going to be their savior in eternity. John says we cannot have both. As much as many want to have both, John says we have got to make a choice. And there's a reason for that. In verse 17 of 1 John 2, he says this world is passing away. So if we put our hope on what is passing away, John says you're going to lose. The world that you trust in, the world that you're so fond of, one day it's going to disappear. But if we're willing to abide in the word of God and stay with the light, John says, we're going to be okay. We will not perish. The darkness in the world, 1 John 2, verse 18, puts us into the camp of the Antichrist. Antichrist is simply a word, just like we say anti-smoking, opposed to smoking. Antichrist means opposed to Christ. We may have some enemies in life, but there is one enemy that we do not want to have, and that's the one known as Jesus Christ. We never in our life want to be opposed to the Lord. But John says we can be opposed to the Lord. We can be with the Antichrist crowd if we're not following the Lord's will. A few verses later, 1 John 2, verse 23, he talks about those who somehow denied the Lord. We can take that path of sin and error, and one day that we denied the Lord. We deny him if we're not willing to follow the light, to accept the truth and be led by it. We can choose, verse 26, to allow ourselves to be led astray. It is a sad thing to be led astray. One of the saddest things in life. People say, I trusted in him, I trusted in this, I had faith in this, and I put my faith in the wrong person. I put my faith in the wrong thing. God says people can be led astray. They can be pulled into that realm of darkness, and they can stay right there. If we miss heaven because we've been led astray, there will not be a second chance, not for a single person. This chapter closes with the word righteousness. And that's another way of describing what we've been talking about. The righteousness, the truth, God's will, all those things are what we need to pursue. If we do not choose righteousness and actively seek to live in the right way, we're going to be part of the darkness. 1 John chapter 3 opens with some information that we want to read. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. As the world looks at its own you know, it sees its own. God knows his people as well. When we look at our world, how does it see us? Do the people in our society think that we blend in well with everyone else? We're just one of the crowd. Well, that should not be the case. As the world looks at us, they should see some things that make them somewhat uncomfortable. Notice verse 3. And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The world is not, for the most part, interested in purity. The world likes dirt. The world likes filth in one form or another. When we talk about purity and uprightness, when we talk about the light, that's where the world steps back and says, well, hey, you're being judgmental, or you have no right to talk about those things or make those kinds of judgments. If we want the light, purity has to be very, very important to us. And that's going to put us on a different page from the world. As we think about what John writes, he says in this chapter, verse 9, that the person who chooses the light does not sin. Now, that verse has puzzled a lot of people, but the original text helps clarify some things. John expresses this point with the present tense. And the force of that verse is the person who has chosen the light does not habitually, does not repeatedly, does not continuously walk or live in sin. They can't make that choice. They refuse to make that choice because they've come out of the darkness. They're living in the light. They want to follow the truth of God's will and word. Because the saved refuse to live in sin, John went on to say in verse 13 that there's going to be some hatred. The world is going to hate you. John said, mark it down. If you're going to live according to the truth, there are going to be some people in life who are not going to be friendly to you. There are going to be some people in life who are resistant to you. And that's right. So this is, in some respects, not the easiest choice to make as we go through life, but it is the right choice. And it is the choice that's the most valuable, the most helpful to us. And ultimately, in the end, the easiest choice. From 1 John chapter 4, I want to look at only one verse, and if you have the outline, you know that we're going to read verse 17. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in the world. John reminds us that the path that we choose, the light or darkness that we select, has a consequence now as well as eternity. Writers like John promise that a day of judgment is going to come, and when that time comes, people will have one of two extreme reactions. One reaction can be when they come before the Lord, fear, terror, awe. They're going to be in a great state of shock. People may be so traumatized at that day that they'll surely not be able to speak or act. But the Lord, the same Lord, who terrifies the unsaved, will be there to protect and care for and help his people inherit the kingdom that God has created from the foundation of the world. As people reflect on the choice, whether they're on the side of the saved or the side of the lost, there will, as we mentioned earlier, be no chance to change. In 1 John 5, John comes to a point where he says God's commandments, that is, this walking in the light, this living according to the truth, pursuing the way of righteousness. John said this way of life is not grievous. God's commandments are not burdensome. The world is often indifferent to God because as it looks at the Bible and the faith found in the New Testament, it says it is a difficult way. You have to give up so many things. You have to change your life to such a degree. Christianity is a cumbersome way to live. God says, oh, there's a price. But God says, when you look at the whole package, my way is the easiest way. That's why the Lord was able to say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We can slug our way through life, if we so choose, by walking in the darkness. And that's a difficult way to live. It really is. And we see that as we look at people that we know. Or we can take the easier path by walking in the light. Verse 4 in 1 John 5 talks about overcoming. If we like to lose, and there may be somebody here that likes to lose, I don't, and I trust that most people in the assembly today don't like to lose, but if we enjoy losing, we can lose in the fullest and greatest sense. We can lose in eternity. We can suffer eternal defeat. And really the only way that we have to accomplish, we can accomplish that by doing nothing. We can just, you know, let things go by and the world passes on and we do nothing and we're going to face that consequence. Winners. And that's what most people want to be. They want to be on the winning side instead of the losing side. Winners are those who choose Christ and the light and seek to be faithful to that choice throughout their lives. The world and its darkness offer people anxiety and frustration. We see that on every hand. But 1 John 5, verse 13. Towards the end of this book, John says you can choose this path of light. You can choose this path of truth, and then he says, you can know. You can know, you can have 100% certainty that you know who you are. You know where you're headed. You know the purpose of life. And you know that when you come to the end of the road, all things are going to be okay. That is a great, great promise. That is so comforting. The scriptures tell us that right and wrong do exist. And the next time you hear someone say, well, you know, we can't make a judgment about that, or I'm not sure that that's right, I'm not sure that that's wrong, I'm not sure that evil exists, just think about the book of 1 John. 1 John says that good and bad do exist. And the scriptures also in this book and elsewhere claim that if we do not choose what God has said is right, we will be lost. That's one of God's guarantees. This morning, do we believe that truth and error? Do we believe that righteousness and sin? Do we believe that good and evil exist? If so, we're on the right road. With that belief, have we surrendered our lives to God? We've said, I know that darkness exists. I know that most people choose to live there. But God, I want to live according to the truth. I want to pursue righteousness. I believe. And to leave that realm of darkness, I'm willing to repent. Jesus said, unless all are willing to repent, they're going to perish, Luke 13:3. And we recognize that Jesus is the only one who can deliver us from that power of darkness. So we confess him as the Lord. But there still has to be something that transports us out of that realm of darkness and brings us into that realm of light and truth. And the Bible describes that act as baptism. That's what Paul said in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ. Well, being baptized into Christ is another way of saying we're brought into the truth. We're brought into the realm of righteousness and life. Baptism is the thing that changes the old life to the new life. And this morning, we hope that you are someone who has taken that final step. If you have, and for some reason you've gone back into that old way, sin, darkness, error, unrighteousness, you know it's not a good place to be. And this morning, if we can assist you as a body of people in coming out of that bad realm, we'd like to do that. If you're ready to leave that realm and become a Christian by God's plan, we'd like to aid you in that way as well. If there's anything that we can do to help you write your relationship with God, we let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song.
Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you in the kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true each providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with
as we surround this table again this morning. I'd like to read first verse of a song in our song books, number 593. To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our hands, do with our might, what our hands find to do. We have work to do here at this place, and oftentimes that work takes money, takes funds. We don't have any right in the scriptures to gather that money in any other way but free will offering, and that's why